Proverbs 4:14. We now kind of switch to a new topic. So for the previous several verses here, we've been really probably since back, like from verse 5 really, we've kind of been on one line of thought. And now Solomon switches gears here a bit. And he says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." So let's look at that first part. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And I just think this is interesting as I define for you path, and we can learn a little bit of something about the way of the wicked just by this definition of path. A path is a way beaten and trodden by the feet of men or beasts, a track formed incidentally by passage between places, rather than expressly planned and constructed to accommodate traffic, a narrow, unmade, and usually unenclosed way across the open country, through the woods or fields, over a mountain, etc. A footway or footpath, as opposed to a road for vehicles, hence applied also to a walk made for foot passengers in a garden, park, wood, or the like. Sometimes, said more vaguely, of any way or road. It's also the way, course, or line along which a person or thing moves, passes, or travels. So I want you to notice something here, that a path is a trodden way that is formed incidentally by passage between places rather than expressly planned or constructed to accommodate traffic. And I think that's significant, because a path is usually made by people taking the easiest way through an area, walking around obstacles such as trees and rocks. Right? When you find a path in the woods, it's usually zigzags, look like a snake, right? It's not straight. They didn't cut down trees and remove rocks and everything. You just kind of go the easiest way, like a deer path. They just follow the path of least resistance. So path usually comes about naturally, not by design and aforethought. So usually paths weren't planned out and thought out. It's just you find the easiest way, and then people keep following you, and before you know it, there's a little path there that just kind of weaves in and out. However, now walking on a winding path takes much less effort than it does designing and building a straight road to get from one place to the other, right? You think about it. So it's a lot easier just to walk on a path, isn't it? In the short run, anyway. In the long run, it would probably make sense to clear out a nice straight road, get rid of the trees, get rid of the rocks, make bridges over the ravines, pave it, right? Because in the long run, you're going to get from where you want to go to where you're going faster whenever you keep taking this course over and over again. But in the short run, it's just a lot easier just to walk a windy path. The path of the wicked is the course of this world, which was laid out by Satan, which is where the wicked walk. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 2. You know, in this bit of the path, it kind of reminds me of what Jesus said, that straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and broad is the way, and wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. Right? So the broad gate and the wide way are the easy way, right? There's all kinds of room. You just kind of walk wherever you want within there, and that's the easy way always goes to destruction. But the straight, the narrow, the constricted road, that's the more difficult one, and that's the one that leads to life. So the wicked are just walking out on paths, taking the easiest way possible, whereas the righteous should be planning out where they're going and not taking the easy way, but doing the hard work to take the right way. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 2. So here's another name for the path of the wicked. It's called the course of this world. Ephesians 2:2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So a course is the path, line, or direction of running. It is the line along which anything runs or travels, the path or way taken by a moving body a flowing stream, etc. So course and path are very similar. They're basically synonyms. So the path of the wicked is the course of this world, following Satan. Now, if we walk in the same path as the wicked, we're going to end up in the same places that they're going, right? That's just makes sense, right? You follow their path, you're going to end up at their destination. If we spend time with wicked people, we're going to learn their ways, right? We're told in Proverbs 13:20 that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So if you walk in the path of the wicked, you're heading for destruction just like them. Jesus taught us to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation, because that's what Solomon said here. Enter not into the path of the wicked. So one way that we can avoid that, Matthew, I don't know if I gave you the verse or not, Matthew 26:41, one way that we can avoid being on the path of the wicked is to pray that the Lord will spare us from it, spare us from the way of temptation. Matthew 26:41. It says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is whenever Jesus was, right before he was crucified, and he was asking his disciples to pray with him for a while, and they couldn't. They just kept falling asleep. And he tells them to pray that they don't enter into temptation. And Peter, shortly after that, entered into temptation, ended up denying the Lord thrice. This is often the case in our Christian lives. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We want to do the right thing, but a lot of times the flesh gets the best of us, and we don't end up doing it. And that's why we should pray to help, that God will help the spirit to overcome the flesh, and we'll make the right decision, and we'll make the difficult decisions that we have to. So in order to not enter into temptation, we must not enter into the path of the wicked where temptation will be present. It's important to enter not into the path of the wicked in order to make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's what Paul taught us in Romans 13:14. The best way to keep from sinning is to stay away from people and places that will facilitate that sin. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So, of course, like if you're a former alcoholic, you don't go to the bars, right? You don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Or, you know, any number of things. If you used to be addicted to internet pornography, well then, you know what, get rid of the internet, or don't have, you know, only have a computer in the living room that's facing where everybody can see it, or whatever. You don't make provision for the flesh. You don't put your computer in your room where you're in there all by yourself or something, and you're having these temptations. That's just a couple of examples. And pray that God will not lead you into temptation and will deliver you from evil. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. You'll remember that in Matthew 6:13. Matthew 6:13 says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So yes, this should be something that we should pray for regularly, because the disciples here asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And he said, pray ye, where you say it, after this manner. He said, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So we're not supposed to repeat this prayer verbatim like the Catholics do. He just said, don't pray like the heathen do with their vain repetitions in verse 7. But we're supposed to pray after this manner. So the types of things that Jesus prayed in this prayer, we should be praying in our prayers as well. And one of those is, lead us not into temptation. And we're told in Psalm 17:4, to keep ourselves from the paths of the destroyer. Psalm 17:4. And this one fits in here pretty well. Psalm 17 in verse 4. It says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Now here's another one for you, see? So you take Psalm 17:4, Proverbs 13:20, and draw arrows between them. Keep yourself from the path of the destroyer. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed, right? The path of fools will get you to the path of the destroyer. So that would be another one. See, I don't even have that one written down there. I've got some other verses, but that'd be another good cross-reference. And then the second part there, Proverbs 4:14, and go not in the way of evil men. So Proverbs 22 and verse 6 tells us that there's a way that we should go, right? Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So there's a way that we should go, and there's, of course, there's a way that we should not go. And the way that we should not go is anything contrary to the way that God tells us to go. There's probably any number of paths out there that God could tell us to avoid, but he doesn't have to tell us to avoid all of them. All he has to do is tell us which one we should be on and then avoid the rest. Men should be very cautious to go not astray in the paths of strange women. I skipped a point there. So there are three examples in Scripture of the way of evil men that we are supposed to go not in. And I just did a search in the Bible for the phrase go not. And I found these three things, and I just thought this was interesting. So here are three things that the Bible tells us to go not in or towards or something. The path of the strange woman is the first one. Proverbs 7 and verse 25. He says, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. Right? Go not in the way of evil men, Solomon tells us there. And then go not after other gods. Jeremiah 25 and verse 6. This is the second place that says, tells us to go not somewhere. Jeremiah 25 and verse 6. And go not after other gods, to serve them and to worship them and to provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. So there's the second. Go not after other gods. Now, we might think, well, you know, there's not really other gods out there today. Oh, yeah, there are. There's plenty of them. There's lots of false religions who have different gods. It talks about the wicked whose god is their belly. Everybody's got a god, whether it's, you know, one that they've made, a physical image, or some image in their mind, or if it's just their own heart's lust and desire. Their god is their belly. Everybody's got a god. Go not after other gods. And then thirdly, go not after false Christs, which evil men preach. Look at Luke 17 and verse 23. This is really important in today's day and age, because the Bible says that there are lords many, then there's another Jesus, and there are false Christs. So there's lots of Lord Jesus Christs out there, and we need to make sure that we are worshiping the true and only one. Luke 17 and verse 23. It says, and they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. Go not after them. And what they're talking about are these other Christs, that the Son of Man, that they're, you know, they're saying that Christ is here or there, and he's saying, go not after them, don't believe them. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a Christ who's a created God. The Mormons have a Christ who's another created, he's another one of the gods, right? The Arminians, for that matter, have a Christ, you know, that tried to save the whole human race and lost most of them and couldn't do the work the Father gave him to do, right? There's a lot of Christs out there that we want to go not after. So that takes care of Proverbs 4:14. Stay off that path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men.